You're listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron and Wayne Fritz, only on LA Talk Radio.
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to another exciting episode of the Concierge Coaches Show here on LA Talk Radio. I'm Bruce Cameron, along with Wayne Fritz.
Hey, I'll tell you all. Thank you, Bruce. It's good to be here, man, and what a wonderful weekend. We've got the guest that's coming on. Hopefully he'll make it on here in a little bit. It's really interesting. You know, I just watched A Minute with Maxwell this morning, and he was talking about value. Talk about his 11 pillars, and one of them is value. He said we should be, a lot of people today look to reap right away and they forget to sow. You know, people a long time will, you want them not to remember, they may not remember what you did, but they'll remember how you made them feel. And that's so important. You know, we sow seeds and that's how a farmer raises crops, but he doesn't just sit there and say, well, I wonder why there's no corn growing.
Right.
He has to sow the corn. And that's what we have to do in our lives. We have to sow seeds of goodness. And it's just pretty interesting. It's all dadgum common sense. And this guy coming on is kind of honor. I really appreciate the guy because he's a retired major of the Army. He was born and raised until he was 8 or 12, I can't remember, and I want him to tell some of this because it's about, I'm into telling your story and how to tell your story. It's very important that people know our story. When you're developing relationships, stories is how it's done. Yep. Tell me anybody that doesn't love a good story. Everybody loves a good story. So, matter of fact, I tell the same story over and over because maybe I haven't heard it for 2 or 3 weeks, and I want to hear it again, so I tell it again. but we want to be show that we're valuable. We want to leave people knowing that they're valuable. That's the most important thing. And I'm going to see if I can get a hold of this guy, Bruce.
All right.
I've
come on and.
He confirmed with me just a little bit ago, but you know, sometimes it's hard for people to get on. I mean,
here's the veil of technology.
Yeah.
Make sure that that happens. Oh, man. While we're. Okay. Well. Yeah, value is important, you know, and that's a big selling point for us as particularly as coaches and consultants is to show that having us work with you adds way more value than maybe you just been doing what you've been doing without us, you know, or without the assistance. Or the consultation or the coaching.
Yes. And, you know, sometimes people in one of the hurdles I think that we have to deal with is people can step over dollars picking up nickels.
Yeah.
And they think that maybe, well, that costs too much. You know, I find that it's just, it's so funny. I ran into it personally, that these people are down in their business. And I know exactly why it is. Exactly why it is. And they talked to me about it. And I said, well, I'd be happy to come in. But I said, I do charge a little bit for that. They asked me what I charged. And I didn't hear back from them.
Yeah. Yep.
You think, well, I know him. He'll do that for free.
Yeah. I've had to, actually on the consulting side, I've had to take a fairly hard line on, it's just real interesting. Well, I know your fee is this, but you know, Wayne, I think I'm going to give you maybe just a couple of, you know, like $1,000 for you to do X, and maybe $500 to do Y, and then maybe $850 to do Z. I'm like, no, man, you don't tell me how I'm going to partition and run my business. That's just not going to work for me. So let's turn this right around, because the tail doesn't wag the dog here.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
This is the fee. This is what you're going to get. That's it. You know, one guy wanted something, you know, I tell you what, he tried to short me 25%, but want things to be done in 5 days. So I charged him the 25% more and said, tell you what, man, I can't believe you went up on price. Like, I can't believe you're trying to put the bum rush on me for 5 days. You know, it'd be just crazy stuff. Like, no, once
and really, that tripping over dollar bills trying to just pick up nickels and pennies. You know, there's an old saying.
Yeah.
I saw a sign in an automotive shop one time that said, the bitterness of poor quality remains long after the sweetness of low price is gone. How many times have we been guilty of that? Man, I tell you, I got a set of those Snap-on tools. Well, they're not Snap-on, but they're just like it. And I only paid a quarter of the price. Then you see them later and say, well, I had to replace half of them.
Yeah.
So, you know, you get what you pay for.
Exactly, exactly.
And if you want $25 worth of coaching, you can get it a lot of places. You can get that at the barbershop. And you if you want free coaching, you go down to the barbershop or to the bar.
Right, right.
And you'll get free coaching, but it's not gonna take you where you need to be. It's just not. It's amazing. So, hey, here he's texting me.
Oh, good. Is he en route?
Well, no, he's still at the dentist. Well, there you go. Let's get on with our rat killing. I don't know if he ever got.
Well, you know, it's confusing, right? Because it's on LA Talk Radio, and they're in Pacific, and we're in Central, and another sizable part of the population lives in the Eastern time zone. So I can see how.
He's got his mouth wide open. And
yeah,
but, well, I think we'll move on.
No, man, I like people tripping over dollar bills to pick up nickels and pennies. I like that. I like that. I'll tell you another example, a corollary of that. When I was working for the government, I always made sure to give up a lot of my salary to my 401k so they could match it. They could match a lot of it, right? And these old boys, like, I need my money now. I'm not gonna give away part of that. I said, hey, buddy. I said, look, it's tax deferred. Actually, it makes your taxes go down because you don't make as much. And with the passage of time and compounding interest,
ooh,
right? And sure enough, I had an old talk with one of these old boys, and he retired about the same time I had, but I had about twice to three times in that account. He's like, how the hell did you get that much money in that account? I said, because I gave it up so much every pay period for 23 years. 23 years. And that's matching funds to a degree and compounding interest. And it averaging at least 10%, if not more,
mm-hmm,
than the 23 years. So that's, you can imagine what that did. And guy's like, man, you're right. I shouldn't, you know. And now he's going to take his Social Security right at 62 because he doesn't want to wait, right? I need that money now.
Well, the secret of success is earning $100,000 a year and only needing 50, or earning 50 and only needing 25. That's the secret of success. It's when you earn 50 and you spend 75, the troubles arise.
Right.
And
right.
And time and compound interest is a scary, scary thing. What it can do. I mean, it just can.
Well,
it's scary. I mean, in a good way. It's hard for us to comprehend time and compound interest.
Well, I mean, okay. Well, even I guess the word compounding is kind of strange. It's like, hey, this thing earns interest every year. And you add that year over year over year, and that's the compounding fact, is that it happens sequentially year after year after year. And then all that kind of compounds and it adds up to something. And so, but just the fact that, you know, some of that interest, you know, I'm not an investor, but sometimes there's a little bitty old Robin Hood account on my phone. And
yep, it's, me too.
It's gas money. It's a little bit more than gas money now, but I bought a lot of stuff during COVID and it's all done real well. A lot of it's done real well. Some of it's taken a bust, like some of these charger companies that were going to charge Teslas. I lost my tail on them. Not my tail, but relative to what I put in, I lost nearly all of it. But nonetheless, right? So this portfolio, Wayne, has good and bad companies in the portfolio. In my Robinhood portfolio, has good, and I don't mean bad companies, but they don't achieve very well. Okay, and so, and the thing that I know that I can count on is that Robinhood account, whatever it is, it always accounts for inflation. See what I mean?
Yep.
Like when you're running stocks, you're still keeping up with an investment that has today's inflation built in to whatever the hell it is you have access to. Okay.
Yes.
And so that, I like that because, you know, like I had these Series EE savings bonds. That was a tiny part that they said, hey man, you pay $50 and this bond, once it matures, and it'll be worth $100. I guess it's a $100 bond for $50.
Yes.
Well, guess what? It ain't worth $100. You know what I mean? I mean, some of it is because it's, but you know, some of that stuff is like, well, no, we're only going to pay back, you know, so much on that bond. Like, oh my God, yeah, because it's really not worth what it was when it was issued. Oh my gosh. That was the whole point of it, right? And then I told you about my pension. Yeah, Mr. Cameron, you're making too much money, so we're going to garnish your pension. I'm like, how do you do that? I thought I earned that pension.
Yep.
That's just not fair. I don't know. It's crazy. It's not a big...
They'll get you. I mean, I'm sorry to say that.
Anyway.
That's why, and if you're going to be coaching, or if you're going to be in business for yourself, especially, you want to get a good CPA.
Oh yeah.
That really understand. Don't try to mess with this stuff yourself.
No, you're right about that, brother. CPA and a lawyer.
Yes, if you're in business for yourself, you better have those two things. Most definitely. Well, I was in Regalware this last week, and it's really a great thing. There was some coaching going on. That's what the trip was about. And I met with the marketing department.
Were you
product development and engineers?
Okay.
And I brought them into the culture of our company and what it all means, because they don't get to see that. They draw pictures and, you know, the engineers, and they design product that they're asked to look for. And product development looks for things that they think we would like, or consumer would like, but a lot of times they fail to connect with the salespeople.
Okay.
If the sales, first of all, if the dealer, now the dealer in the company I was with is one that buys wholesale and then creates a network of salespeople to distribute those products.
Okay.
If the dealer's not excited, he's not going to excite his salespeople. If the salespeople aren't excited, they're not going to excite the prospective customer. So, you know, who do you want to input it from? The prospective customer or the dealer and the salesperson? Well, you better get it from the dealer and the salesperson, because if they're enthusiastic and they're sold and they're excited, they'll sell a nice box to an Eskimo.
That's right. You know,
and how the old saying was, they'll sell a sand box to somebody who lives in the desert, because they're excited. And that's who you want to motivate. So we went through all that kind of stuff. And my son even, he went also and he did a complete presentation for a whole bunch of local business people that came in. And I mean, these are store owners, big executive people. Mm-hmm. And I don't mean just one store. They own a lot of stores.
Okay.
Real estate, all kinds of stuff. And they fell in love with the product, and a lot of them are getting it. And so it was a very interesting two-stage program. See, he excited people to invest in the product. And we had a few of the marketing people that got to see that. And product development got to see it. And they get excited. And I think it was a real good, now it wasn't, you know, it was a paid deal for the day, but you know, if you work yourself right and you get really good in the field, you see, you know, my best coaching ability is in sales. You know why? Because I went to school for almost 50 years in sales. I mean, that's what I've done all my career. So I know things, you know.
Sure.
I have value to companies that want to get to their salespeople. And even the people that are not in sales need to understand what sales is about. Because if those product development people and those marketing people and those engineers do not excite the sales force and not working with them, then they don't get a paycheck. Eventually, they're not going to be needed.
Right.
So you want to establish just good relationship between the field and between those people, the corporate people. And I think that was done last week quite a bit. And the guy that heads the company up, Ryan,
we've had him on the show.
I give him a lot of kudos for coming up with that and wanting to do that and understanding that you do have to tie those things together. Because they are a manufacturing company and not a sales company.
Oh, wow.
They don't think like us.
Right.
And there's no, that's okay. You have to understand that. They just don't think like us.
Right. So. Right. No, man, because I got some clients that they're back making the product, using the CAD programs, making the products, churning the products out, and they make another one, make another set, make another one. And that's right. They're not thinking about the sales or I mean, obviously they need the sales so they can continue to manufacture the products, right? They understand that, but man, they don't, you know, so I think that's good. That's good team building.
Yes.
And we would do team building in prison. You have two flavors of staff. You have custody, and then you have kind of treatment staff. Your custody are your prison guards, lieutenants, officers, and those things. And your treatment staff are more like me, case manager, chaplain, teachers, and those types of folks, right? And there was always, even inside the walls of a prison, there was the divide between custody and treatment, right? And then, you know, you have these wardens like, no, remember, we're all correctional workers first. They kind of homogenize this as correctional workers, right? And that's true, because if there's a post that needs to be filled, you fill it. One time I was at a prison, I got called 3 a.m. to stand fog watch, and they gave me a shotgun. I came to prison, they gave me a shotgun. And you have staff stand in certain configuration because the fog is so thick you can't see. And so you have this, it's called fog watch, and you carry a shotgun ready to shoot that person trying to escape, right? And I, you know, what am I going to do? Excuse me, I'm trained as a psychologist. I have an important assessment to do. Like, get your ass on that fog patrol.
Right.
Get and get your ass, stand right there, Mr. Psychologist, Dr. Fogwatch.
Yes, Dr. Fogwatch. Well, when I took my son went with me to the factory when he was about 13. We had a tour. And when we got finished, he said, Dad, that person that was putting the screws in that skillet, is that all they do all day? I said, yep. They put a screw in that skillet all day. He said, oh man, I don't want to ever do that. So it's a good lesson.
Stay in school, follow my path, whatever.
Yep, do something better.
Maybe they'll have robots do that, at least that piece for you.
Yeah, well, they might have it now, but they didn't that day we went through. And man, he made a commitment that day. He wasn't ever going to do that.
Yeah,
but you know, you go through a factory and there's people that have been there 35, 45 years doing the same thing. And that's how some people are fine with that. But, yeah, and we need people like that. I don't want everybody has value. And I'll tell you something. I had in this meeting with these the vice president of marketing and product development and all these engineers, I challenged them. I said, you know, I don't care if you're an introvert. I said, as a matter of fact, an introvert makes a better salesperson than an extrovert.
Mm, really?
And that's, you know, my gosh, because they have empathy. And but I said, I want you to do me a favor. And they all committed to doing it. And I said, I call it the 3-foot rule, and I may have spoken on this a few weeks ago, but I'm really big on it now. Developing, I'm going to write it all, put it in a book. And if you're within 3 feet of someone, say, hey, Bruce, let me ask you a question.
Oh, boy.
Has anybody told you today that you're awesome?
No, they haven't. No, you're the first person to tell me that. Thank you.
And that's what they'll say. I'm serious as a heart attack. No, I haven't. And thank you. I needed that.
Oh, I, well, yes.
I'll tell you, next time you go to the grocery store and that cashier is if they're going to go beep, 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 beep. Then there's four buggies behind you full of groceries that they're going to do that. And it's going to happen all day. They get a break. They get lunch. They get a break. And they go home, but that's all they're doing all day. And stop them and say, hey, look at their name tag. Say, hey, Gladys, let me ask you a question. Has anybody told you today that you're awesome? Yeah. And they'll be taken aback and they'll say, no, but thank you. And all of a sudden that you've changed their day. You've changed that moment of life. You'd be so surprised. The things that happen. I mean, it's going to take an effort for you to say that, but you're giving them value. And watch what happens. But when they come back at you and they say, no, but thank you, I needed that, you'll get goosebumps on your arms, I promise you. And you'll walk out of there feeling better. And so what you sow is what you reap. Only you'll reap more than you sow. It's absolutely, and get into a habit. Only takes 21 days. To make a habit, whether it's a good habit or a bad habit, 21 days. And if you establish that habit, and the vice president of marketing the next morning came in and she said, no, I'm sorry, it was later that evening. Was it? Yeah, later that evening at dinner. She came in and said, I already saw somebody. I already did it. I said, did what? She said, I told them how awesome they were. And I feel better than they do. I tell you what, you start doing that and you'll feel better than the person you're telling it to, but you want to tell it to the person for them to feel better.
Right.
You want to tell them that they're all, you want to tell them you appreciate them and they have value. You know, you go through the airport, those guys walking around with those picking up garbage, you know, they emptying the garbage trash cans, and or going to the men's room and ladies' room, they clean up, mop up. You know, stop and say, hey, let me ask you something. Anybody told you how awesome you are? I don't know how this airport can function without you. You made their day. Plus, you want to get deeper. You don't know what you may have changed in there.
Oh, yeah.
You could have just talked them off the windowsill. You don't
know.
That's true.
That's true.
But it's just showing people that they are appreciated.
Yeah.
Showing people that they are appreciated. Try it.
Oh, yeah.
I'd like to have all of our listeners make a commitment to try that. And you'll just be amazed. The 3-foot rule. And also you can use it in prospecting too. Like, hey, let me ask you a question. Have you ever heard what a life coach is?
Yep. Hey, and that's an interesting question too, because that a lot of people have either thought about being a life coach or might be thinking about having a life coach to some degree. And now more and more on TV shows, you'll hear characters say, oh, I have this life coach, da, 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 you know, so it's becoming more, it seemed a little bit fringy in the mid-2000s, but now it's kind of a standard, you know, it's not untoward to have a life coach or talk about having one or whatever. And so, yeah, that's a good one. Especially if you're a life coach looking for, you know,
it's an interesting, but I'll tell you, you want to make sure that you give the other person the value.
Yeah.
Because if you're giving value, you'll get back a lot more and it'll make your business more successful.
Absolutely.
Because if you feel good, and if you, listen, it's Zig Ziglar said. I always use his stuff. He was a great motivator. If you were selling a product and you tied an order pad to a dog's tail and let that dog run around town all day, sooner or later he'd come back and there'd be a signature on that order pad because the dog saw a lot of people. And so if you can't just say this one time, you have to say it. You have to make it a habit. You know, when you introduce yourself, my name is Wayne Fritz, and I do this or this, and I'm also a certified life coach.
Part of your elevator speech, right? Your elevator pitch.
That's what the 3-foot rule is. It's kind of like the elevator speech. Exactly. But you got to say it. You got to say it. You've got to use it.
Yeah, I mean, and that's true, because people, I would have never known that, or you know what? I've been thinking about that, or you know what? I know somebody who could use somebody that does what you do, you know? And so, yeah.
Yeah. So you just, it's kind of like the hardest door we have to get through is not the prospects. It's our door.
Yeah.
This is the hardest door to get through.
Of self-limiting beliefs.
Yes.
And
all we have to do is ask the question, you know, what's the worst thing going to happen? Somebody say, I'm not interested.
Well, I got to tell you, and maybe I could parlay this into to you guys, which y'all do, but on the consulting side, I own a Facebook group, a community that now has about 6,000 members. And people refer into it. I get new members every week. Man, it's, you know, and so I've been reading about Facebook marketing and how to engage with your client and how to put it. Like if I put a post, I could put a post with words. It's the most profound thing ever. But if I attach a picture to it, it gets read 20 times as more. If I did a video of me doing it, it'd be seen 100 times more. Because people love it's called the Facebook story. And it's a video thing, and you can add a story every day on the account. And man, Wayne, I'll tell you what, I put a story of like, I could say, hey, everybody, Bruce Cameron for Diet Dr. Pepper, the drink of champions or something like that. I put that on a story, be seen 2,000 times. Just because people like to watch something, you know? So if they like you, then they'll watch you. If they feel that you're an expert or have something of value, they're gonna want to do that. And then that's why a lot of these guys that on Instagram that can do the same thing, it's like, well, I'm gonna have my own private subscription. Now you gotta pay $1 a month. So I mean, shoot, if I charged everybody in that group $1, it'd be at least $5,500 a month I'd be making on passive income. Because they really want to be part of this community, right? It's not me. The way I did it was really interesting. I'm actually the guy, the Wizard of Oz or whatever, behind the curtain. And I'll come out every now and again. I might break up a fight or add some value, you know. But I'll kind of let them fellowship and solve their own problems.
Wow.
And then I'll come out. So I'll send you an invite to that.
Yeah, I would love that.
It's and it's searchable. Early release from federal prison, CARES Act. So the first thing the person sees is early release from federal prison. So when people search, that's one of the first thing that comes up. And I made that group a public group. And going public like that made it way more accessible, you know? And wow. I mean, I could do that about cookware.
Mm-hmm.
Bruce's or something cookware, you know, have something catchy. And this is my group on, and we talked about that. You've had your people with their cooking channel, their cooking shows and whatever, but man, there's a way to tweak the wording and kind of create your own niche in an otherwise bigger field of cookware, let's say, you know? So
you can be magnified. Magnified and sanctified.
Sanctified. Then once we dead, we glorify it.
Then we glorify it. I love it.
But you gotta pass from this.
I gotta do some more of that stuff. I want to talk to you about the Facebook and Instagram stuff for my new health foods or health products.
Yeah, man. Yeah. I could see something where your store or whatever it is, you know what I mean? Your store that offers X, Y, and Z, and you put pictures and little videos, right, of what you're doing. And then start getting people to follow you, and then just kind of, but you got to grow. It's like a garden, man. That Instagram is like a garden, man. Holy smokes, I'm out in that garden pulling weeds. The lady's like, I love you long time, Mr. Bruce. Love you long time. You need mail order wife? I'm like, nope. Get rid of all those. Those come in at 3 a.m. and get rid of all the spam and trash and Bitcoin operators and all that other stuff. But man, But then, you know, then get these real people and again, it's a similar concept, but you have to, boy, Instagram, you gotta tell your story with the picture.
Yes, pictures paint 1,000 words.
Whatever it is you're trying to achieve, you better do it in that picture, because there's nothing you can say or do, you know, now if it's a video, but still, you got, 10 seconds, 5 seconds, when that video runs, you better be on point with whatever you were going to convey, you know, and so it's really, really interesting to see the metrics and to take this marketing to another level. It's kind of fun. I think it's a challenge, you know? Let me tell you, your new business or whatever, your new brick and mortar, I'm excited about that. That's going to be perfect.
Well, oh, it's a mess. I'll tell you, I got everything ready to go. But the electricity wasn't on. They said, okay, everything's good. You'll be hooked up today. Well, one hooked up, Then they said, oh, we found out you have to get a permit from the city. I thought, oh my goodness, what? For the electricity? I mean, so I called the city and they sent me something on that I have to do. They only do it online now. And I have to, once I got that filled out, then I have to pay them some money to get a permit so the electric company can turn. And I haven't even walked in there yet.
And it's a wonder why people don't do brick and mortar anymore.
Well, it's a scam. It's a holdup. It's protection money. I'm paying protection money. I can't even open my doors to pay somebody something so they can tell somebody they can do something. It's just nuts. Bureaucracy. It is wild.
Yeah.
That's why you gotta. It's used to, you know, you could shake someone's hand and everything was okay. I'm the customer at my home for the same city that my office is in. And I've been buying water from her, water and trash, whatever it is, every month for a few years. So I go to turn my water on in my business. They don't trust me. So I have to give them a $300 cash deposit. And I just messed with that's great. I sent the girls down there some cookies. I wanted them to know they're valuable, but I told them, I said, listen, do I get interest on this money that I'm loaning you?
No, sir. Thanks for asking, though.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for the cookies, though.
Yeah. But you want to keep them happy. I mean, besides that, you want to appreciate it. Give thanks in all things.
There you go. There you go.
That's how
so, wow, what a labor of love to get this thing.
Yeah, it kind of is. But, you know, a perfect thing is that Instagram and Facebook, those real short videos and pictures. Because I could do that. And I know a girl that has a business that is really good at doing that. Mm-hmm. And you can tell. And she grows and grows and grows. And I think a lot of it is she even has an exercise class in her office. And she videos that and throws it up on her page. I mean, she's always doing something.
Wow.
And yeah. This old boy one time said, as long as you're doing something, something will happen.
Right. There you go. Absolutely. If you don't do anything, nothing's going to happen. You're absolutely right.
That's right. Yeah.
No, man, you're exactly right. You got to be doing something. And, you know, I try to, I have some good days and I have some lazy days. Let today, I got started at 12:30 today. But that's when I first came in the office. But to, you know, woke up, emails, texts. I actually did two reports. I sent something to a lawyer and a parole attorney in South Texas. I did, you know, I actually did some meaningful paperwork, a school excuse for another coaching client that needed a school excuse. And I got caught up on all my little secretary paperwork and came in and, you know, and believe you me, brother, that paperwork, I feel productive when I get that done. Oh, paid the business credit card and paid an installment toward my kid's last tuition. This is the last month for that. Praise the Lord. Yeah. So you know what? There's a lot of clicking and clacking, but boy, it yielded a lot of work, you know, done and produced that was very, very meaningful. So,
Well, if you want to know how important paperwork is, just close your eyes and think of yourself sitting in the bathroom. And really, yeah. The job is not finished until the paperwork is done.
And here's one.
Try not doing the paperwork there. It'd be a messy thing.
Yeah. Here's one. Social Security Administration, we need you to, you know, this was a second request for documents. Well, I sent it three times. On time number two, I took pictures of the certified mail. So these people can pound sand. And I'll call down there in Austin. Same thing with my continuing edge of credit for the license. Sent it three times. And then you know, I called the board director, and or I actually saw the board director, and I was complaining to him over a cup of coffee. I'm like, man, what's going on there? He goes, oh, I know. I saw you the third time they pushed it up to me. I'm like, yeah, man, come on. I shouldn't have to do things three times.
Cut me some slack, Jack.
Oh boy, you know, just it is what it is. But you know what? When you have your paperwork done and it's in a row, and you do it and you have proof of it, you just made your life easier. If you try to cut a corner or you're lazy or whatever, you're going to work three or four times harder, right?
Yep.
Not trying to catch up for stuff that wasn't necessarily done. So, man, I learned that quick, man. So yeah, did you train your folks on the paperwork side of business when you do your training, your sales training?
Yep, we sure do. And we make sure that if they do it correctly, it'll go through quicker. And if there's things we have to go back and do, it takes longer to everybody to get their money and everybody to get everything. So,
yeah. Yeah.
Crazy, crazy.
Yeah, no, that's the way to do it, man. But
well, next week, Bruce, we should have retired Major Eddie Vargas.
Okay,
and he's got quite a story. I can't wait for some. I mean, he's got a story, and it's good. And he said,
"No, I can't." Yeah, it just sounds like I always love folks that serve their country that might have been raised somewhere else. And they come here and they get to serve our country. It's their country.
He'll say it next week. I'll take a little of it. He said he got here and he found out he could join the Army and get paid. And he was in the Army in Colombia. And they don't pay you there. You have to go, and they don't pay you. He said, you mean I can get paid for being in the Army? I'm going. I want to go in the Army. So it's just... the way he says it, though, it's just like, huh? You pay here? I was doing that for free at home.
It's like a kid on Christmas morning, right?
Yeah, a new candy cane. So anyway, yeah. He'll have a good story and being a major and how he worked his way up. He's got some good stories about that. And, you know, when you get to that level, you're coaching a lot of people, too.
And you're coaching, you're supervising. You're usually in charge of a lot of government money that you're in charge of dispensing for goods and services and supplies and whatever. Or you're signing the purchase order for the clerk that, you know, that master sergeant or that sergeant or whatever.
Yep. And he was an attaché of a general for a bit. Wow. So. That's he's got some pretty good stories, and he's a good guy, and he's done well since he's gotten out of the Army.
That'd be good. No, it's good to have somebody, you know, come in and tell their story and just focus on the story. You know, we're not focusing on a good or a service, a particular good or service or whatever, right? Just focusing on this person telling their story for our listeners to get inspired.
Okay, inspired. And a story is so important. Mm-hmm. We all have a story, and we should tell it more often to people, and it will attract them.
A few years ago, I was reading about the story, there was a story arc, and prosecuting attorneys learn this, defense attorneys learn that. There's that story when you make your opening statement, you know, ladies and gentlemen, today the state is going to prove John Doe committed XYZ, da 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 da, you know. And then they have this story arc and the closing arguments, you know. And it's fantastic to see. Man, I got to see that a few weeks ago. I talked about that at that trial, that did some witness prep and hear those stories, you know.
And when it tells the best story, usually wins.
The one who tells the best story usually wins. Yeah.
That's okay.
Hey, and sometimes the facts are optional.
That's another thing. As long as it's a good story.
Well, it's a good story, man. You got to fight a chance. You don't want to worry about the facts. Don't worry about that, man. We got something to tell you. You got something to say. And, man, yeah, the facts are optional. That's funny, but yeah, it's sometimes true. But anyway, but so good. Well, I'm looking forward to hearing our guest. I know our listeners will too. And it's always good to hear, you know, someone kind of ascend through the ranks, literally, physically, you know, and get to a good place, you know. So, and a lot of that story, I know, is that he's going to believe in himself or have he'll be a person of faith too.
Absolutely,
for sure, he'll have enough to believe in himself. And that's just it, you know, at least believe in yourself enough to try in the early part, you know. And once it starts going, it starts going. I actually did a story on my Facebook page about my psych degree that was deemed worthless by some elders in my life, you know, in the 70s and 80s. And I kind of tell this story about the worthless psych degree. And then at the end of the story, it's like, guess that degree wasn't as worthless as they thought, right? Yep. And oh yeah, man, I was on a tear, man. So yeah, that was it's funny, man. That stings just like it happened yesterday, and it's probably, I don't know, 20, 40, God, could be nearly half a century ago, right? You know, but you never forget some of those things, you know?
No, you don't. Actually, some of those things again, you know, my voice says we should be thankful in all things. And
yeah.
Those things could have spurred you to do better. Yeah. More like that. I'm going to show you. You know, a lot of times motivation comes from a lot of different ways.
You know, yeah. Well, you're right. And that's one source. I just kind of stayed in the middle of the program, of, you know, God's will, and just following that, those open doors. So I just, once I just stayed faithful to the path, if you will, things fell into place because I was on the, you know, kind of just doing what needed to be done. First step, second step, you know what I mean? To get through it. So, yeah, it wasn't like, I'm going to show you, but it kind of did at the end, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that was not my motivation when I proved people wrong.
But just so, yeah.
But I did prove them wrong.
So
I recognized that after I made it, you know, I was successful.
One case in point was 2008, 2009, a lot of these A&M engineers I went to school with, oh, I'm an engineering major, I'm in the telecom industry, I work for Nokia, I'm good for the rest of my life. We know what happened to those people.
That's right.
They got enforced by people in India. Meanwhile, the psych degree here.
Yep.
I didn't get replaced for $10 an hour.
Yep.
Sorry. I digress. Isn't that so?
I digress, but it's good to digress sometimes.
An electrical engineer versus a psychologist. That's just like showing up to a knife fight with a toothpick. But like you said, sometimes pick wins. All right, folks. Well, there it is. Another fantastic episode of the Concierge Coaches Show. And like Wayne said, be with us next week for a special guest, retired Major Eddie Vargas. It's going to be exciting, and it's going to have a fantastic story for us. I can't wait to hear it. I know you'll be inspired by what he says. Come by our social media. We're at concierge_coaches. On Instagram, or Concierge Coaches Show on Facebook. And what else we got here? Of course, the LA Talk Radio, latalkradio.com. You go to our show and you can have the podcasts and videos for free. We're on Apple Podcast and iHeartMedia as well, the little podcast that could. And I'm at conciergecoach.net. And Wayne, how can folks reach you?
Still Wayne_515@yahoo.com. Look forward to hearing your comments.
All right. All right, then. We'll wrap it up. Take care, everybody. Have a blessed week. See you next time.
Peace out. Thanks.
You're listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron and Wayne Fritz, only on LA Talk Radio.